Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Happy Monday and welcome to our Tuesday live show that we're doing on Monday. This is a show we try to do every week where we answer questions that we've received during the week and answer questions that come up. So if you do have questions for the show and you're watching live, please put those questions in the comments below. Today, we're going to do a couple of quick topics, talk about the sale of Astral and just go into questions. There's tons of questions. Again, if you have more, throw those in the comment section. This is also a podcast and I listen to it as a podcast. It's pretty bad. So if you're listening to this as a podcast, you might want to just turn it off. It's not going to be very good. This is really intended as a live YouTube show. And so you can see the video and see what we're talking about. And I'm a horrible speaker. I don't enunciate my words correctly. I talk too fast. So please consider watching this as a YouTube show so you get the video and not as a podcast. But it is available as a podcast for those of you that want to suffer through that. So with that, let's first talk about our sponsor of today's show. This is the site where I sell things. This is my little company. I am obsessed with it right now. Some of you know. And we're really growing the things we offer. We're offering a lot of high-quality rescue gear. And just so you all know, this is only the good stuff. If you want the cheap stuff, you can find that. It's out there. I'm only selling the stuff that is the good quality stuff that we use in our classes that I personally use. These are high-quality items. And I highly recommend checking some of them out. We're pre-cutting webbing. So if you want just the right size webbing, we're just pre-cutting it for you and making it easy. And a couple other things that are really cool. I really like these Sterling Autoblock Prussic. Easy to work with, strong, work on a huge diameter, huge variety of ropes. If you have pre-tied plus Prussic, I would replace them with these $15 Prussic. They're sweet. And we also have a handful of these left, these really sweet Cobra slings. I don't have one with me now, but they're really thin, really light, great flip lines, anchors, just a great thing to carry in your PFD that's not that bulky as a flip line. So that's our sponsor of this week's show. I got tons of other stuff on here if you want to play around and look through it. Again, I'm obsessed with the store right now. Those of you that have been boating with me, it's all I can talk about, and I'm sorry. But yeah, it's really fun to package up good stuff that people want. Like if every time I put a package out there, I'm like, I'm getting good things in people's hands, and I'm super jazzed on that. So thank you all for doing that. And I also want to thank our new member, Rob M. You can be a member of the show. You pay a couple bucks a month, supports the show. Thanks for doing that. Anybody who does it. But yeah. So with that, let's get started. I want to talk about the sale at Astral really quick. I'm going to bring up Astral's website. They have right now, as we speak, let me bring this website back up. They have, I think, a 25% off sale across the board. I don't know why or how they're doing this, but everything on the website is 25% off. And if I was a retailer, I might be mad about this because if you go into a shop and buy it at a shop, you're paying full price. But right now, they're just selling stuff direct, 25% off. And 5% goes to protect soil and the water. That's awesome. But for those of you that have been thinking about getting a new PFD, now's the time. And just as a reminder, they have this Astral Indus that just came out. It was 370. Oh, it's sold out now, so you can't even buy it. Never mind. But it was 25% off. Yeah, shows off is 281 here. But from the 375, but it's not even available. But just a couple of quick things. With that PFD, I've been wearing a bunch. I'm sort of torn on it, and I just think it's too bulky up front. If you at all struggle getting back into a boat, this is not the PFD for you. It makes it even harder. And I really think this was designed by kayakers for kayakers. And some people that have an athletic build will love this PFD. It's super sweet. It's just much harder to get back in the boat for me, at least. And most of the other PFDs you might wear are low float PFDs. They're 16.5 pounds of float. But here, green jackets for $274, the blue jacket for $195. I think a great, if you want a good low float PFD, they're the Bowen, the new blue jacket, is a sweet PFD. It's on sale. So anyway, I saw the sale, thought I'd share with everybody. Now's maybe a time to get a new PFD. So let's get started with questions. We have a lot of questions here. We have a quick comment. I haven't been impressed with Astral shoe group and durability. I'm considering the La Sportiva TX Canyon. They look pretty bomber. Yeah, I mean, just a quick thing about shoes. Astros used to grip really well. I don't know. Maybe they changed the rubber. I don't know. But the durability of all shoes are pretty bad because any shoe you just get wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry. It's really hard to make a durable shoe that's constantly wet and dry. So Astros doing the best they can. I like their shoes. I've lately been wearing this Adidas shoe that I'm really into that you can't find anymore. The La Sportiva TX Canyon, I think somebody I've been working with a lot has been wearing those. I'm pretty stoked on them. Let me bring those up really quick. I wish somebody just made a, the best shoe. Like just, let's say it costs $250. Just the shoe that is rad. The problem is people probably wouldn't buy that shoe because it's too expensive. Yeah, I think this is what I've seen quite a few people wear. Bring this one up. This looks like a cool shoe and it's on sale. Whoa, that's on sale too. It's a canyoneering shoe. I bet this is awesome. So this is something to consider. Yeah, I'd probably go that route. That looks pretty cool. All right, let's get to the questions. So the first question, I really enjoy your videos and learn a lot. I'm 74 years old and just getting into whitewater. How do I find others to run rivers with? This is the question I get over and over and over. And one of the reasons I do this show, so people can maybe somehow meet on the show. I've tried to create community through different methods. It hasn't really worked. I would say it depends where you live. Most people meet on Facebook groups. That's a place. Here near Portland, there's the Oregon Whitewater Association. Go to a meeting and meet people that way. Go to Put In and just hang out and just try to make friends. I would say that some key things, that's how you can meet people. How you get boating partners is by being cool and being an asset. So, if you're somebody who like doesn't pay for gas or never drives, or you have a little Honda Civic and depend on other people to carry your boat up and down, that's a big thing for a rafter. If you need people to help carry your boat up and down the hill and you don't really help others, they're not going to get invited back. So I think just being cool and being an asset on trips, if you don't help with carrying boats up and down the hill, maybe buy everybody dinner. Just be a net benefit on trips you do go on. And that would include having safety skills, first aid skills. And when you're boating with the group, at least people I like to boat with, they boat with good boat order. They're not drinking all day. I've gone boating with people who are drinking in the car on the way to Put In. Just be a good person people want to boat with once you meet them. So my quick advice is, how do you find others? Facebook groups, or whitewater associations, river events. I've met people hanging out at Put In. But the key isn't just meeting people. It's developing relationships. I think that's important. And just being an asset is the key to that. I'm not 20 or 30 or something. That seems to be most of the whitewater people are. Should I just accept that I'm too old and forget about it? I don't think so. I think there's not too old. There's not, in my opinion, there's not fit enough. So if you're not fit, that's a problem. So of any age, like if you can't get yourself back into a boat, if you can't swim, if you can't carry things, that's an issue. I wouldn't say age is an issue as much. And then how do I find others who are interested in running whitewater? I live an hour north of San Francisco in California. Okay. Down there, I think there's a Gold Country. And I don't know if you're a rafter here, you're a kayaker, you're a stand-up paddleboarder, do you creature craft? I don't know. But there's, I think, the Loma Prieta Paddlers, there's the Gold Country Paddlers. There's Friends of the River, which is a nonprofit that helps develop river conservation stuff and boaters. And just finding those groups, going to meetings, meeting people, hanging out, wherever you want to boat. That's my best advice. Okay. Finding PNW whitewater trip partners. Oh, same question. Do you have any tips for getting and finding partners for a whitewater trip, specifically rafting? I have friends. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to skim this really quick. Same question, but it's in Portland. Oregon Whitewater Association. Go on Facebook and find the Facebook. There's a PNW whitewater group. And if you're not on Facebook and you're like, I think Facebook is dumb, that's your bad. Like you're missing out. So you may hate corporations or think Facebook is stealing your personal information. If you do, then you're missing out on a lot of boaters. But a lot of people meet on Facebook. So I would go there and then Oregon Whitewater Association. And hang out, go to the Clackamas on a weekend and just try to meet people and say, hey, kind of tag along with y'all, and then on the trip, be helpful, carry things, be nice, maybe bring some beer for people to take out to thank them, and maybe bring some snacks, pass out chocolate, just be like nice, like helpful asset, and you'll probably get invited back. I see here you say, I'm hesitant to reach out on strangers on Facebook groups. I mean, I would maybe be too, but then I would, if you're not willing to do that, then go to an Oregon Whitewater Association meeting, or like this last weekend, the Upper Clackamas Whitewater Festival, the best place to meet people. Like, it's over, just finished this weekend, but just physically going there and just meeting people and making relationships, some kind of events would be pretty cool. All right. Oh, we got comments. Best Dirt is a good one, but expensive. Yeah, I think that's it. How do I think those are for sale in Europe. And I don't know if we can even get those here. Yeah. Are you taking boats customers from the top in a June 16th Middle Fork trip? I don't know. Like, I'm getting asked this question like several times a day. What is the flow going to be on June 10th? Do you have any, what is the landslide going to look like? What's the most, I don't know. I honestly, I have no idea. I'm not the person to ask, because I have like, what is that, 26 days to figure this out. So it's, I don't know what's going to happen. Something's going to happen, but I don't know what. All right, next question. What's the noticeable pros and cons of a 6 foot, 6 inch wide, 14 foot raft versus a 7 foot wide, 14 foot raft, boat with 20 inch tubes? The noticeable pros and cons. Well, I mean, it really does depend. Is this a gear boat? Is this a paddle boat? I don't know. I'm assuming you mean a gear boat. The wider boat can carry more stuff. The wider boat's going to be a little more sluggish. I really believe that the length to width ratio is like the ideal ratio is like, I think around 2.18. And so anything different than that is going to just maneuver weird, fine, but weird. So I'm not going to do the math for you, but I think it's somewhere around 2.18 ish, 2.16 is a pretty ideal length to width ratio. And so whatever's closer is just going to be a more nimble, good boat. I've read the narrower boat is more nimble and the wider boat. Well, yeah, that's obvious. You have to read that. If it's narrow, it's going to be go through channels better. If it's wider, it's less likely to flip. Aside from cargo room, are the differences in performance really that significant? Probably not. I mean, I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. I mean, you can give me either boat, I probably would notice a difference. I'm talking 6 inches here. Yeah, probably not much. Okay, I already got to that. All right, next question. Maine salmon. Whoa, this is long. I don't know if you have time for some basic questions about a private Maine salmon trip slated for June 14th, but here you go. Okay, so just so you all know, I haven't done the Maine salmon I've only done it twice, and that's 15 years ago. So I probably can't answer these questions. But if anybody out there who's watching the show can, just leave your comments in the comment section and help. Looks like the Maine salmon has peaked. We might have a nice declining flow for June 14th. Maybe. Will we see beaches or will flows be too high? I don't know. I honestly don't know what the flow is going to be 24 days from now. So I have no idea. I think it's peaked. I have no idea. Okay. Is putting boats in the water and camping at the Corn Creek put in the night before the standard approach? I think so. But I can't remember. Is camping there for river permit holders, or is there competition for camping spots? I don't know. You could call the Forest. I mean, I would think you could call the Forest Service and ask them these questions. I don't know. Maybe somebody watching knows the answer. It's preseason, so it's first come camping on the river, I understand. Even though it's preseason, are the number of trips per day limited, or is it a full-on camping competition on the river, especially high water? So if it's preseason, I don't know the answer to this question either, but if it's pre-season and before permits, the number of trips probably isn't limited. It's just, they just let everybody go. And so it's probably full-on camping on the river. The thing about the Maine salmon in all rivers, if the river conditions are perfect, it'll be busy. If the river's high and like slightly dangerous, then it won't be as busy. So it really depends what the flow is going to be, I'm assuming. Oh, here we go. Cody knows the answer. I'm pretty sure it's 99 permits available pre-season. How do you get the permits? Do you just show up and just get one first come, first served, or do you have to ask? I don't know. Okay. We've got two members of the group also contemplating doing a June 7th commando scouting trip, which seems like tempting fate, or at least cold weather and high water. Does that seem attractive in the least? Want to come and show us the way? I can't go, but also that's, yeah, I can't go. And I've only done the main salmon twice. I'm not the right person to ask about this. But who knows? I mean, again, that's 17 days away. Who knows what the river flow is going to do in the weather? It could do anything. It could be low. It could be 100 degrees. It could be snowing. It's just so far away. So unfortunately, I don't know much about the Maine salmon, but maybe somebody can chime in here and answer some of these questions. Yeah, I'm sorry. All right, next question. Bhutan private trip. A quick Google of Whitewater Bhutan brings me to your website, and I see you've run trips there in the past. Yeah, I think I've been there 14 times and run 25 plus trips and 14 visits. So I've been there a lot. We've run a lot of trips. Some friends and I are planning a private pack rafting trip to the country and hope to combine a multi-day hike with multiple days on a river with some tourism on either side. Cool. That sounds fun. I'm wondering if you'd be able to offer any advice on getting through the heavy tourism regulations in the country to get such a trip off the ground. So, if you are hoping to just go there and do whatever you want, that's probably not going to happen. Like there is, I wouldn't call it heavy tourism regulation. It's tourism is regulated. So you can't really just go there and do what you want. You sort of need to book it through a tourism agency. It might be, there's a new regulation where it might be possible to do it without a guide. I don't think so though. I don't know where they settled on that, but historically you have to hire a company that knows where you are every day. And so if you just want to go, if you're trying to like go there on the cheap and go just do some cool adventure, I would suggest going to Nepal instead, because you really can't do that in Bhutan. But Nepal is also in the Himalayas, has places you can do all kinds of hiking and trekking and boating, and it's established and it's pretty inexpensive. So, but if you want to go to Bhutan, you should just assume that you're going to be heavily regulated and it's going to be very expensive. It's a very expensive place to go adventuring. It's a great place to go for tourism. If you want to see an amazing country and learn about their culture and hang out with their culture, that's a great place to go. But if you want to go there just to go on an adventure, I wouldn't go to Bhutan, because you're paying a lot of money to just go on an adventure. You could do that anywhere. You could go to India. You could go to Nepal. You could go anywhere. If you just want to go backpacking and boating, you could go in my backyard. It'd be super cheap. So I would only go to Bhutan if the country is appealing to you and the culture. And that's what they want. The country wants people to come and enjoy their country, have minimal impact on it. They want to minimize tourism so that there's not a huge impact on their country by tourists. They want to keep their culture alive. And they, from the people that visit them, they want to have them spend a lot of money. So they call it high value, low impact tourism. They get good money for their economy from tourists and has a low impact on their country. So my quick advice is either one, I can help you organize something. I'm very expensive. So if you want to spend a lot of money, I know where to go. I know where there's First Ascents. I know where there's Killer Trips. But you have to hire me, and it's going to be very expensive, like very expensive. Probably. I mean, yeah, it's not cheap. Or just like look at India, Northern India. There's cool places to do things. Go figure out how to go to Tibet, figure out how to go to Nepal. I would do something like that. Hopefully that helps. Okay. Next question. Raft trailers. Appreciate all the content. I'm in the market for a raft trailer and just got off an Hawaii trip where another raft trailers broke at the tongue. Where another rafters trailer broke. Okay, I'm sorry. Guys, I want to apologize. I'm a terrible reader. I'm doing my best. It had me wondering if you had a show on this. I do not have a show about raft trailers breaking at the tongue. Nope. Any thought on aluminum versus steel? Considerations for durability versus weight? Any brands that you guys run commercial with? Good luck. So aluminum is going to be less durable but lighter. And so if you want light, go aluminum. If you want durable, go steel. That's like mountain bikes. That's true of airplanes. That's true of everything. That's just the reality. Brands you guys run commercial with luck. If anybody has any comments here, throw them in. Like what brand trailer do you like? There's a company I like. I'm spacing on their name. We have a few that they're based in Troutdale Oregon, no, close to me, and you can buy them all over the place. I'm just basing on their name that I really like. I have a bunch of their trailers, and they're expensive too. It's sort of like you get what you pay for. It's a very, they're very expensive trailers. Let me Google it really quick and see if I can figure this out. Troutdale raft trailers. They don't just make raft trailers. They make all kinds of stuff. Let's see. Oh, Iron Eagle. Yep. Let me see if I can bring Iron Eagle up. These trailers, I'm a huge fan of. They are expensive. So if you want a good trailer, you're going to spend money. Like you could probably buy like a flatbed trailer, like just a cheap one for like $800 or $1,000. These are probably a few thousand dollars. It's the Versamax. See, I think it's the Versamax that I get. Yeah, they even show a raft on it. And it has all the options. It has the roller in the back if you want. You can get them custom made too, which is cool. You can get the little hand dolly thing that cranks it up. This is the one I really like. And I have one of these flatbeds, and I have one of their box trailers I use. And if I buy more trailers, I'm probably going to buy from them. Just high quality, well thought out, long lasting trailers. But they're not cheap. They may not have the prices here. And you can get them from Iron Eagle. I just pick mine up from the factory where they make them. I think it's the factory where they're based. But they have dealers all over, so you can order stuff from them. Like put your zip code in here, and order from them. But it's like a lot of things. You get what you pay for. So, yeah, I would get, if you want to spend the money, you can get this one. All right, back to questions. I've been talking to some friends about how to solve for the prusik slips when using thin ropes and mountaineering when building them off throwback lines. The small company in Seattle got recommended to me. I haven't given it a go yet, but I thought you might be interested in it. I'm hoping it solves a diameter issue and avoid the slip. I'm not going to click this link. This almost feels to me like the company wrote me this message so I would promote the product. So I'm not going to promote the product. But I will take this moment to show you what I am pretty confident is, I'll go back to my website where I sell good stuff, what I think are the best prusiks out there. This Sterling Auto Block, it will grip to pretty much any rope. It's not rope size diameter. Like it's not... It doesn't depend on the diameter of the rope. Like normally that you want a prusik diameter to be the half the diameter of the haul line. This will grip to pretty much anything. It's pretty awesome. So if you want like simple, light bomber prusik, this 6mm auto block is the way to go. I like this one. It's easy to work with and only $15. The better prusik, the bomber one, is the hollow block. This is the gold standard for prusiks, especially if you don't want them to slip. This again will grip to pretty much anything. They're $26 instead of $15. They're more expensive. Super strong, awesome. I don't mind a little slip because I actually want, like, if I'm building a mechanical managed system, I want my prusik to slip potentially to be like the circuit breaker in the system, so I don't overload my system. I feel like this prusik is so strong, so grippy, that you don't have the circuit breaker anymore. I think that at least if you use the auto block, it's not as strong, not as grippy. It's still pretty strong and grippy, so it's not quite the circuit breaker, but I think more so than the other one. And I just like working with this. When I am doing like just practice on my own, I just like the feel of this one in my hands, and it's small and light. It packs up really small. Mark's saying the same thing. Yeah, when a prusik slips, it normally means you're overloading the system. My worry about, Mark, and I'm kind of curious, I was going to ask you about this the other day. If I'm using the hollow blocks, I mean, they're just not going to slip. They group to almost anything. So if you use these in a mechanically managed system, they're just not going to slip. And so you don't know you're overloading your system when you're using these. They're pretty cool. And if you want to use these for an application where you definitely don't want slip, it's a sweet prusik. But what are we talking about later, or you mentioned it here. All right. Rogue Gearworks in Southern Oregon makes a pretty bitchin' trailer too. Well, let's check it out. Rogue Gearworks. I've never seen one, but let's check it out. Custom rafts and rafts trailers. Okay, here we go. I'm trying to click trailers, but it's not working. Maybe I'll click trailers up here. Oh, there we go. That's pretty cool. I mean, it has, let's see, top. This is kind of cool where you can put things in. Like they're pretty expensive too. It's like the same thing, you get what you pay for. It has this little lower area you can like throw in. Hopefully oars fit in there. That's pretty sweet. I personally am not a fan of rollers in the back. I know a lot of people are. Maybe if you want to roll your heavy gear boat up and have a little hand winch, but I've had a few, you've seen a few people like loading boats, step on the roller and fall down. So for safety reasons, I take the roller off and I feel like I can lift a raft onto a thing. So maybe you can take the roller off. Oh, look, and you can get a winch if you hand winch if you want. Yep. Jack, that's kind of cool. Yeah, this looks pretty cool. I'm never a fan of overbranding. That big RGW to me is kind of like, it's overbranding. It's too much. I wish they didn't do that. They could put a sticker on the back and call it good, but that's just me. And here's a fly one. This one looks sweet too. They're expensive, which generally to me is a sign that they're good. They're well-made. Now they could be charging way too much money, but I mean, usually when people charge a good amount of money, they're making a high quality product. Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for the thing. Ooh, that's cool. Hollow blocks do slip. Interesting. We should do a test later on. I'd like to see one slip. That's cool. That's good to know. I thought they were super grippy, like over the top grippy. Always learning something, Mark. You're always teaching me something. All right. Where are we at? Back to question. So I'm not going to look at this because there's no point in like just get a hollow block or an auto block and call it good. Oh, that's the last question. Sweet. So I think we're done. Thank you all for watching the show. I think that's all the questions. If you're watching this later on and you can answer those main salmon questions, please do, because I have no idea at all about the main salmon questions. And Mark and I, maybe we'll do some tests with the auto blocks and hollow blocks and watch them slip. That'd be kind of fun. And yeah, that's it for this episode. Thank you all for watching. And we'll probably have a show, I think, next Tuesday. So we'll see you all in the next week's show.